Soon after leaving Egypt and panicking that their leader Moshe would not return, the Jewish people in our Parsha fashion a golden calf, committing a tragic national sin. Rashi teaches us that there was one individual who went against the grain and tried to stop it, and his name was Hur. You may recall that Hur had been one of the two people, along with Aaron, who held up Moshe's arms in the war against Amalek. Also at Har Sinai, before Moshe went up the mountain, he appointed Hur and Aaron to be the poskim, to be the ones to answer any questions that the Jewish people may have. So Hur was this important leader of the Jewish people at the time. And when the Jews came up with the crazy idea of a golden calf, it was Hur who stood up, he protested, and he was killed by his fellow Jews who wanted to build the golden calf no matter what. And the murder of Hur helps us understand the approach of Aaron, who seems to either facilitate the fashioning of the calf or certainly doesn't try to stop it. He redirects it, Chag LaHashem Achar. And our defense for Aaron is that he saw Hur was killed for trying to stop it completely, so he figured he needed to take a different approach of stalling for time. This tradition of Rashi also explains why we don't hear anything about Hur in the rest of the Torah. Here he's this major national leader, and then he disappears off the face of the map, according to Rashi. So the explanation is that he was killed during the Cheder Egel. So Hur is a hero. Hur is a man who stood up for his convictions and made the ultimate sacrifice. But what became of his actions? He was killed. It was so sad and tragic. It seems that Hur sacrificed his life in vain. And is it really true that nothing was accomplished, that he did give his life in vain? So there's a very important detail in our Parsha that teaches us that perhaps it's not true. Perhaps his efforts were not in vain, because the Parsha also teaches us about the building of the Mishkan, which served as an atonement for the golden calf. And there's different explanations. According to Rashi, the Mishkan really was a response to the Egel. It was a concession to the limited level of Bnei Israel that they showed during the golden calf that they needed something physical with which to relate to Hashem. And so the Mishkan is a response to that. According to Ramban, no, the command of building the Mishkan was actually prior to the golden calf, as it is in the Torah. It comes up prior to it. But either way, the commentaries explain that the Mishkan was a kapara, was an atonement for the golden calf. Instead of donating their money for bad, they donated for good to build a house for Hashem. And who's chosen to be the chief architect of the Mishkan? Who's filled with the godly spirit? The Pasuk says, Re'e karati b'shem Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur l'mate Yehuda. Bezalel was none other than Hur's grandson. He was raised in the home of Hur, which was infused with this conviction. And Bezalel selected to build the Mishkan, perhaps not only as a reward for Hur's passion, but perhaps because Bezalel was inspired by that passion. He grew up in that kind of home. And then when you see what one is willing to die for, with sadness and pain, but it hits home, what we really live for. And so if the Mishkan is an atonement for the golden calf, and Bezalel came from Hur, it's his grandson, and Bezalel built the Mishkan, you see that, lo and behold, ultimately Hur was successful to some degree in preventing the damaging effects of the Egel. Yes, he wasn't successful right away to stop it, but because he protested the Egel, he managed ultimately to neutralize it. And we learn from here that what seems to be unsuccessful in the short term may have long-term results. But also what we see is that we're all really searching in our lives for a sense of continuity. Whether it's regarding our commitment to Israel or to Torah and its values, we want to transmit our beautiful heritage that we received from previous generations and pass it on to the next generations. And so when you light Shabbos candles, when you put on tefillin, right, you're doing what your parents and grandparents did, and we're hoping that our children and grandchildren, the future generations, will do the same. And how do we achieve that sense of continuity? And the answer is that we can transmit it if we have the passion of Hur. Hopefully we shouldn't be harmed, and nobody, God forbid, should be killed because of that passion. We're really, though, all role models for the younger generation, and they pick up on what we're passionate about and what we're going through the motions for. My Rebbe Rav Amital once said that the greatest chinuch is done when you don't realize that you're teaching, and the students or the children don't realize that they're learning. Because it's through modeling, and when we live in a way that when we make the right decisions and we follow the Torah, even when difficult, that's what makes an impression upon the future generations. So when you go take a drink of water, and you're not sure, do you say a bracha? keep in mind a little Bezalel, either your Bezalel, somebody else's Bezalel, may be watching. When you're approached by a poor person, question is whether to treat him kindly or to brush him off. Remember, a little Bezalel is watching. When you come to daven in the shul, and the question is when to come and whether to daven with kavana to talk, so a little Bezalel is watching you. And the question is, will we live in a way that the next generation will want to build a Mishkan? The Rav Soloveitchik talks about when he was a young boy, and he writes this in his essay Uvakashta Misham, that he remembers that the world was a cold and strange place, but his one friend was the Rambam. And he speaks about as a little boy listening to the shurim of his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who would always defend the Rambam, answer all the questions of the Rambam. And he would run over to his mother and he would say, "Mother, mother, the Rambam won. He beat the Ravid. Father helped him. Look how wonderful my father is." But once in a great while, my father did not succeed. And despite all the efforts, the enemies of the Rambam defeated him. The questions were as strong as iron. And my father, Rav, as a little boy, would recall, would raise his head and say, "There's no answer. The words of the Rambam are difficult. No one is capable of resolving these questions." And the shir ended with no explanation. And with a broken heart, he would walk slowly to his mother and say, "Mother, mother, father cannot answer the Rambam. What will we do? He did not succeed today." And my mother would tell me, "Don't worry. Father will find an answer to the Rambam. And if he does not succeed, then when you grow up, perhaps you will find an answer to the Rambam." Always remember, my son, the important thing about Torah is to study it in happiness and enthusiasm. It's a beautiful story which shares that how his mother believed in him and also, you know, the impressions made upon the children. And it shows us how our actions can inspire future generations to continue our path and build upon them. And so let us make sure we take the baton, exhibit that passion and conviction to create the Jewish community of tomorrow. Shabbat Shalom.